Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
I was up to and including the third grade. You can go downstairs. And now if you take your Bibles, we're going to ask Jared to come. And he's going to preach the Word of God to us. There's a place in your bulletin you want to take notes. So please do so. Jared, it's a blessing to have you here with us and a joy to have the pulpit turned over and preach the Word to us. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And it's good to be here. Whoa. As I'm breaking things up here, you won't charge me. It's good to be here. Didn't expect, of all the churches we've gone to, this is the most beautiful decorated church so far. I mean, walking into this, it wasn't snowing when we got here, but then we come in and it's like, whoa, this is going to, it's almost like in a theater or something, big Christmas decorations. And then we look outside, it's snowing already. Unbelievable. It's just so apropos for the day. And my kids don't see snow every day, so they were thrilled. We let them run out there for a while, but that was great. My wife and I, is the PowerPoint there? So my wife and I, as we thought about what to preach on, it is sort of related to missions. I'll admit that. It's sort of not. But it is. I mean, we can always relate to missions. I wanted to preach on something that God has laid on my heart. And it just seems so appropriate for today. And that is all or nothing. Would you pray with me today? Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we could be here as your body gathered together, to encourage one another, to listen to your word, to worship you. We pray that it is your word that is pronounced and proclaimed today. We pray that it will reach our hearts, not just our minds, and that it will saturate our lives. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, your love, which is new every morning, Father. We pray that as we go out these doors, as we go out into a world so obvious how dark it is as you open these doors and you see a mosque. But we go out into a world that needs you. And the way they see you is through us. And so we pray that we can be that for this dark and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9 as we get ready for today's message. Luke chapter 9. We're going to be in verse 23 and 24, but before I get into there, I want to tell you a little story of when I was a kid at camp, when I was working at camp. Many of you that were here this morning in the early service, you know that my testimony is I grew up in a camp my entire life. It's almost 30 years. Well, as I graduated from washing pots and pans as a baby and a toddler, and then going up and it transformed into sweeping floors and washing toilets and bathrooms. I got to graduate, and I eventually got to be a counselor staff, and then I got on director staff. And my first year as director staff, I was camp intern that year. And as we got to our training week for all the young people from the different Bible colleges throughout the country came in, there was about 50 or so young people. And I remember me and the head counselor, we got together. What are we going to do? We got together with all the guys. That was our responsibility. And all the guys decided that they were going to wear a rubber band around their wrist. And I remember thinking very clearly and praying very clearly through this. We said, what is the reason for this rubber band? Well, as we go through the camp summer, it's impossible to socialize amongst us young men because we're serving with all the kids and the campers. So this was our way of saying to the Lord, making commitment to the Lord, Lord, I'm all in. And if I saw another one of the young men, counselor or operations staff, walking around with a rubber band on their wrist, I knew they were okay. If they saw me with my rubber band and I had a knot tied into it, cut and then tied, retied back into it, it meant that I needed prayer. And so we would see a young man, we all said, we are committing to this summer. We want to have a pure life, a pure heart, serving Jesus. And so we talked about purity. And if we saw one of the young men who had said, we committed in front of each other, we are all in. It's all or nothing this summer. And I commit my life, I surrender my life. God, do what you want with me as we fill our cups and then help fill the campers' cups up. But then we see someone with their knot, their rubber band tied in the knot into a knot. And we'd approach them and say, what's up? Are you okay? How do I pray for you? Or if it was me, how do you pray for me? Here's what's going on. It was a figurative way of saying, I'm all in on you, God. Use me. And so today, I want to talk about this. A whole heart surrender to Jesus is more than just a figurative mindset. It's a daily reset. Let me say that again. A whole heart surrender to Jesus is more than a figurative mindset. It is a daily reset. The rubber band around my wrist is a figurative mindset. It's a symbol for me to remember, but it's figurative. What's more important is the daily reset. The everyday getting up every morning and saying, God, my heart is yours, all of it. Use it as you will. So as we think about this word term, whole heart, in Psalms 119:10, with my whole heart I have sought you that I might not wander from your commandments. Whole heart. As we think about this word, what does it mean for whole heart? Well, we got in the Bible, as I studied for this, there are so many passages where it talks about the whole heart. And you might think, okay, we're not talking about my physical beating heart. We know that, right? But Jewish theology, when we talk about whole heart, we're talking about mind, emotion, and will. It was a symbol for the mind, emotion, and will. All of me. When I say, God, you have my heart, you say, God, you have all of me. I'm giving you my mind. I'm giving you all my emotions, and I'm giving you my will. Not my will, but thine, Lord. My whole heart. So as we consider the title, All or Nothing, we're going to read Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. And it says this, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Point number one, we're talking about a whole heart. How do I have this, serve God with this whole heart? Which is more than a figurative mindset, but a daily reset. Number one, we need to have a unified heart. A unified heart. In other words, a heart that is not divided. You can see in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, here they are, three things. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We have those three commandments They're obligations. You have to do it. It's mandatory. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Three imperative statements. And we say deny yourself. I know we're not talking about, and you know this, we're not talking about like a diet or fasting, which does have its place, especially in prayer, when we are going to Jesus in a private way. It's not about Lent. Nothing like that, denying our appetites. We're talking about saying, I make you the authority of my life and not me. God, you are my boss. You call the shots. And in Chile, there's a phrase that they use, and it's very common now that we have a team and we're working from July all the way to February. It's incredibly hard with the team, and they all give respect to the team leader, which is me, and the co-director. And when we say, well, hey, what do you guys think we should do? They'll look back and we say, no, you're the one who cuts the cake. It's a phrase in Chile. You cut the cake. You're the boss. You're the one who decides the portion, how big it is, and who gets it. And it's a very common phrase in Chilean culture. El corte queque, for those of you who speak Spanish. God is who cuts the cake. You don't get an option. Does it make any sense? So we're talking about denying yourself. Let's talk truth. I am talking to people sitting in a church, a conservative church. I'm preaching to people who call themselves not only church attenders, but call themselves disciples of Jesus. If you're sitting there and you would tell me or tell Pastor Dan, Pastor Dan, I am a follower of Jesus, I'm a disciple of Jesus, then you're the person who I'm talking to this morning. Because there's a meaning of what it means to give your whole heart to Jesus. And many times we say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior, right? Very common phrase. And we accept the fact that Jesus is our Savior. He's the person at the point of salvation. He is saving us. He is pulling us out of hell. He is our Savior. But there is so many times, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we do not put Jesus Christ as Lord. We say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, and you're a hypocrite. You're not letting him call the shots. You're not saying it's not my will, but thy will be done. You're not saying it's all of me. Because you say, Jesus, you can be my Savior, but I'm not letting you be my Lord in this particular circumstance. But Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He is the one who calls the shots. He is the one that you give your life to. It is all of you. He is not only the captain of your destiny, your future, but he needs to lead you in the details of your everyday life. There's a common misinterpretation of, Jesus, you're number one on my list. And let's get this. What does this mean, Lord and Savior, my whole heart? What is this? The common misinterpretation is, Jesus, you're number one on my list, and then I have a number two and a number three and a number four. The truth is, he wants to be your entire list. There is no one, there's no two, three, four. My son is 12, quickly going on 16. So I do not want, I am not looking forward to teaching him how to drive. How many of you have taught a teenager how to drive? Raise your hand. Okay, you guys know. I don't. I can imagine you understand how fearful and frightening it might be, right? To be on the driver's side. You're trusting this 2,000-pound vehicle or so to this 16-year-old or 15-year-old in training. It's a lot of trust. It's a lot of faith. And the only thing you can do is scream. Right? And I know there's these mail trucks with the wheel on the other side, right? I wish it was though. In Chile, they have instruction vehicles where they actually have two driver wheels and two sets of pedals. So the instructor sits on this side and can take over whenever he wants. It's really interesting. Give me one of those when my son is up to age, right? But we look at this passage of Lord and Savior, and why do I bring this up about teaching my son to drive? Well, if you haven't heard, Jesus is not my co-pilot. I know there's bumper stickers. I know it's Jesus is my co-pilot, right? We get that all the time. The problem is it absorbs into us and absorbs into us and absorbs into us, and we become to think that way. Jesus wants to be the entire list. There are moments where you say, Jesus, you can drive here, but I'm going to drive here. It doesn't work that way. Let's really understand what giving our whole heart to Jesus is as my Lord and Savior. Good contracts make good contracts make good friends, right? So, not when I need you at moments. Jesus, take the wheel all the time, not only when you need to, when I need you to. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. The three imperatives. We just talked about deny yourselves. You call the shots. You're the boss. You're my Lord and Savior, right? You cut the cake. So what does it mean to take up your cross? And I don't mean to be morbid. It sounds morbid, right? We all know what it meant to take up your cross. If you know anything about the story of Jesus or even just Roman history in general, we all know what that means. It's you're walking to their death. So I'm not trying to be morbid at all. But I remember back in the day when I was just learning about missions, a young teenager. And I remember when I heard these stories of these five missionaries who went to Ecuador. You all know who I'm talking about? Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, there's a few others. Nate Saint is from our area where we live. I've grown up with his nephews and grandkids. They're all in our area where we live, in Pennsylvania, not in Chile, where I grew up. My grandfather actually had the opportunity to fly in the plane when they would circle around the tribes and put a bucket, and they go in a circle so the bucket wouldn't move at the bottom on a string, on a rope, and the guys and the indigenous people could get their gifts out of the bucket. My grandfather had the privilege of flying in that plane with those missionaries. Because we're all from the same area, really. And when I heard about the story of them going to those people and them getting murdered, it impacted a generation of people. And I'm one of them. And I remember thinking about, wow, they gave their life. That's what I remember thinking about. Take up the cross. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And then as I got into college and now I'm in seminary, I was asked to go to Peru and Chile to teach teenagers, missionary kids. A week conference and another week conference, two different places. And as I was going on the plane, I got a book, a missions book, about Ronnie Bowers. And if any of you know the story, Ronnie Bowers, if you remember, there's a plane in Peru that was shot down by Peruvian Air Force 25 years ago, maybe, around that time. Well, the pilot was from our church, sent out from our church. And so we were very close to this whole, the plane was actually from our church. And if you remember the story, they shot down the plane, and Ronnie Bowers and her daughter, I think it is, both got shot by the same bullet. It went through her back and into her daughter's head, her baby's head. And they died instantly. And it's because I was so close to it, as far as we knew them, I knew who the Bowers were. I'm very close with the pilot. They've actually come to Chile to visit us already. I remember getting this book and I said, okay, I'm going to read it. And I'm getting on a plane flying to Peru, where they were missionaries in Iquitos, Peru. And I'm flying to Peru and I'm reading this book. And I remember thinking after reading about how they gave their life and how so many people have been impacted by their death, I remember thinking, God, if more people will come to you because of my death than my life, then take me now. Bad thing to pray on an airplane, I tell you that. And it's almost as God spoke into me and he said, Jared, I don't want you to die necessarily. I do want you to die to self. And then as I'm preparing for this message, we're talking about whole heart. We're talking about giving it all for Jesus. The week I'm preparing for this message, I'm really digging in on Monday. I'm really digging in on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, this happened. And I couldn't sleep for 3 nights. God, if more people can come to you through my life than through my death, let me live. If it's through my death than through my life, take me now. And it's almost he had to remind me, Jared, it's death to self. Death to self. Take up your cross. I don't need you to die. I need you to live for me. That's what he was saying. Now, could he decide that I would have to die? Yes, he could. Could it come to that? It sure could. But he's saying, all my dreams, all my desires, all of what makes you you has to die. All of your goals have to die. And then he will give you the desires of your heart. Take up your cross. Jesus, you're all I got. There became a point in my life where I said yes. And I said, Jesus, it's whatever you want, how you want, when you want with me. It's almost as if your life is a blank contract. And you say, Jesus, here's my life. I'm going to sign it. Do with me what you want. Make the list. And you know what? That can be costly. Maybe you will be asked to die. But it is costly in other ways. I remember sitting on Friday nights in my house, somewhat lonely, because my friends who I thought were my friends were doing things that I was not invited to. I'm looking at the young people today. And I remember asking God, why? Why wouldn't they invite me? And I remember later on, I shouldn't take it as a criticism. I should take it as a compliment. Because they were looking at me and saying, his life won't fit with what we're doing. They realize who you serve. But maybe people, it's costly in another way. Maybe people who are coming to this church, your family is saying, oh, you're going to a cult. Coming from your own friends and your own family, right? I know many young people in Chile who have been persecuted by their teachers in college because they can't do a certain homework because it goes against their convictions. And their teacher gets on them and then makes fun of them in front of the class. Not all the time, but some of the time the teachers actually have gained respect for that person. It can be costly, but you know what? We keep loving, we keep serving, we keep giving, and we say, Jesus, you have all of me. It's all or nothing. And as we think about this unified heart, how do we live with this unified heart when our hearts are contaminated, right? In Jeremiah it says, your heart is deceitfully wicked, who can know it? But all I can tell you is the simple version, the simple answer is look at the Jesus who gave it all before you and gave it for you. He gave it all before you gave it all. It was all or nothing for him before it was all or nothing for us. And he went all in on us before we could ever go all in on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what it means to live with your whole heart for Jesus in a way that's all or nothing. Luke, real quickly, we got to keep going. Luke chapter 9, verse 24, it says this. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Point number two, a heart with no reservations. How do I live this life all or nothing for Jesus with my whole heart? You need to live with a heart that has no reservations. Number one, a unified heart. Number two, a heart with no reservations. And you can see the contrast in this verse. For whosoever will save his life, there's one side, shall lose it. Contrast. But whosoever will lose his life, one side, will save. For my sake, the same shall save it. Opposite. And I don't know about you, but my mind is a pretty simple mind. I'm not a smart guy. Right? And these contrasting terms or oxymorons do exist in English. In Spanish, they exist. And I've had to deal with that when I'm learning Spanish in Chile. Because here's one way they do it in Chile. If there's a soccer game, for example, and my buddies are watching the game on this side in their house, and I watch it, and then we come Sunday morning, hey, did you watch the soccer game? And they'll say, no. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And I'm just, as a foreigner learning Spanish, I'm like, what did he just say? Like, did he watch it or did he not watch it? Does any of you other Hispanics out here know what I'm, do the same thing? Yes? So it's not just Chile? Okay. So it's not just Chile, apparently. And what that is yes, I watched a soccer game. No, it was horrible. Yeah, I watched a soccer game. No, it was a horrible soccer game. It was terrible to watch. We lost. That's what it means. See how bad they played. Well, we do it in English, too. We do it in English. We say, pretty ugly. I love this one, gourmet pizza. I mean, does that even exist? They say it does, but no. Jumbo shrimp. Okay. There's another one in Spanish. You can tell me, you Latinos here. Poco harto. Have you heard that one? So do you want, poco is little, harto is a lot. A little, a lot. And so, hey, they gave that guy a piece of cake. Yeah, un poco harto. It means it was a big piece of cake. Un poco harto, yeah, like that was a little lot. I had to get, how do I get around that as a foreigner trying to learn a language, right? So we have these contrasts in the verse. Lose your life, save it. Save your life, lose it. If you live your life, here's what it means, seeking to hoard or hold all that the world has to offer except for Jesus. Everything except making Jesus primary in your life. If you look for all those things, then you will actually waste your life. You're looking to save your life through the worldly ways, you're going to lose it. The result is vanity, it's emptiness, and we all know that. At least anyone who's gained anything knows that. Versus going all or nothing, living a life all in. Everyone else looks at that guy who's living for Jesus, and they'll say, what a waste. Look at him. He should be going after this and this and this and this. I've had it said to me by a pastor of a very big church. And they look at your life serving Jesus. You're losing your life over here so that you can save it. And they're saying, that guy is an imbecile. What is he doing? And it's almost as if Jesus will turn around and look at that person who's judging the Christian, who's living all or nothing for Jesus, and it's almost as Jesus will look at him and say, you just wait. Watch this. And they take that person, that weak, the lowliest of lows, the humble, they take that person and Jesus lifts him up. And he says to that person, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And so everyone looking at that person who they think is wasting their life will eventually see a person who would love Jesus and they will be attracted to. They'll see Jesus. And we got to be careful, because when God adds all these things as we seek Him first, that we don't let all these things become first. That's the danger. But we know, if you know that those things are from God, and you know those things don't define you, then you know they're from Jesus. And you say, Jesus, this is mine because you gave it to me. Or you let me administer it. You let me borrow it. Manage it. If we are not careful, those things, we become the God of our life. Remember, it's not things that satisfy our hearts. It's Jesus. Here's a statement. If whatever you think that you need, you can't live life without it. If it's not enough without it, it will never be enough with it. Write that down. But if I only get that house, if I can only get that car, if I only get that job or promotion, or if I can only get that young person, that girl, that guy, if only I can have a guy or girl, right? If I can only get that recognition, so many people get there and they get those things and they will tell you, it's worthless at the end. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Jesus is the only one that satisfies, and the only way to get that satisfaction is to go all in, all or nothing for Jesus. That's the only way. Yet we battle back and forth. We have a heart with reservations instead of a heart without reservations. How many times do we reserve parts of our heart from Jesus? How many times do I reserve my finances from Him? How many times do I reserve my relationships from Him? Do I reserve whatever it may be from Him? I took her when she came to the United States to visit my family, and I had plans to get engaged. It's actually during the big, large earthquake down there in 2010, if any of you remember that. Big, massive earthquake. We weren't there. She was here visiting my family. And I took her down to Baltimore Harbor. I wanted to find a good place to propose to her. So my friends who were from there were living now in Pennsylvania. They took us. We all went. And they were in on the secret, so they had cameras and they were taking pictures and videos. And I didn't know where I was going to do the deed. Get down on one knee, right? And so we had to find a place. So we eventually found a place, and there's a little lighthouse out in the corner, if any of you have been there, on this brick walkway out there, and it's a relocated lighthouse, and I said, that's where I'm going to do it. So we went out on the corner, and one of my friends was up on the lighthouse, and they were taking pictures and their videos, and I got down on one knee to ask her to marry me. And what would happen if I get down on one knee, if I would have done this, I get down on one knee, and I take Naldi's hand, and I look up, and I say, Naldi, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I give you 99.9% of my heart. Will you marry me? What is she going to say? What, ladies, what is she going to say? No. Are you crazy? Right? But don't we do that? Can I tell you something? If it's not going to work in the earthly realm, it'll never work in the spiritual realm. The moment we go all in is when Jesus will take us and satisfy us and give us joy and use us. You must have a unified heart and a heart with no reservations. Here's a couple verses of people written to us to show what this looks like. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, all or nothing, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Galatians 2:20, my life verse, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It might mean you have to die, but most likely means you just need to live for him. I tell you what, if we're not living this way, there's a whole mosque behind us that will, for a false god. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at this next one, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For the love of God constraineth us. Another version says, compels us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He compels us. I don't have a choice. I have to live for him. You know what? Even with all this written in the Bible, sometimes you just don't get it. Am I right? You catch yourself reserving your heart or not giving him that wheel? You know, in the Bible, there's a story of the rich young ruler. Do you know it? Where this rich young ruler went to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Right? He has his disciples all around him. And the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and asks the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And I still can never get it out of my head, Jesus' answer. Because it's not what I would have said. Anyone know what he says? He says, "Keep my commandments." That is not the gospel. What would you do if someone said, "What must I do to be saved?" What would you say? Right? Repent of your sins. Jesus died and rose again for you. John 3:16. Right? It's a gift of God. The Romans road. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Right? What did Jesus say? Knowing the rich young ruler's heart, he said, "Keep my commandments." And the rich young ruler responded, I do keep your commandments. Like Jesus didn't know. Right? Of course Jesus knew. That's why he gave that answer. And he says, "I do keep the commandments." And it says, "Sell everything you have and give it all to the poor." That's in my paraphrase. And what does he do? The Bible says he turns around and he walks away sadly. Sad. Remember when we miss it? At times we just miss it. That rich young ruler missed it. But what he did, he missed it because why? Because he saw those disciples, he saw everything around Jesus and Jesus himself, and he said, "Oh man, I've got everything. I'm rich. I've got anything I want. I want that." And he saw the attractiveness of the the living, breathing gospel and the people is affecting. And he said, "That I don't have, but I'm going to add it to what I already have." In other words, he was keeping a list. And Jesus said, "Get rid of everything you have because I am the only one, should be the only one on your list." And he walked away. And then you see the disciples on the other side, which we come to know later on. Can you imagine the disciples seeing that kind of person with the kind of resources and the riches that he had? And the disciples were waiting for Jesus to die? No. They're waiting for Jesus to become a conquering king. And they're seeing, "Jesus, what are you doing? You're letting him walk away. He could have helped the cause. Jesus, when are we going to get ours? When are we going to kick out the Romans? When are you going to sit on your throne and you're going to be that guy and we're going to rule with you? When is that going to start, Jesus? That was a great step and you're letting him go. And all the while you have Jesus in the middle of this rich young ruler and you have Jesus in the middle of these disciples and all of them missed it. Just like we do. We miss it so many times. That's why it says a daily reset. Don't miss it. Every morning, get out of bed and you say, Jesus, my life is yours every day. Not just part of my life. All of my heart, my unified heart. Not parts of my heart reserved. The entire heart. You know, I didn't realize this before I came back to Chile, but I bought a suit jacket, a little sport coat. So when I bought it, someone said, why don't you do what I do and kind of just keep the tag in it, right? Did you know you can buy before you, try before you buy? You know that? You, in Amazon, you can try the clothes on, buy them, and send them back if you don't like them. A lot of the young people or banquets or things like that, they buy these expensive things at Macy's or whatever, and they keep the tags on them and then use them and then send them back. Did you know you could do that? Just, you guys look at me like I'm terrible. Right? But this is, try before you buy, right? So this jacket, if it's got the tag on it, it's not really mine. I'm not all in on it. It kind of fits. It don't look good. But then there comes a point where I've got to pop the tag. I make the decision. Am I going to send it back? Or am I really going to own this? Am I really going to go live a life all or nothing? And then we make the dramatic decision, right? I can't take it back. The good or the bad, this is mine. My money is gone. Everything I gave for this is gone. I've got this. You cannot try Jesus before you buy Jesus. Too many of us have the tag still on. And we're not living the life all or nothing for him. If only you could see what I see. If only you could have seen what I have seen. How God works through lives that are totally surrendered and completely given to him. If you would experience that even once, you would pop the tag. Even once. A whole heart surrender to Jesus is more than a figurative mindset. It's a daily reset. Maybe you are here this morning and you're hearing these words, and I know it's not a missions message, but your life, you're saying, I have not gone all in on Jesus. And the reason you're not affecting people for Jesus is because you're not all in on Jesus. And you can say to me now, Jared, I want to go all in on Jesus. I want a unified heart. I want a heart with no reservations. The decision is not mine. The decision is yours. And I know that the title is All or Nothing. But you know what? In the Christian world, the nothing doesn't exist. What happens if I give it all? All or nothing implies that it's either I'm going to gain or I'm even going to lose it. But in Jesus' world, it's all gain. It's never nothing. It's everything, always. You don't know what you're missing. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Father, help us to pop the tag. Help us to live for you and give it all. And for this church, Heritage Baptist Church, if all the members were to give it all for you and be all in for you, imagine what they could do in such a short time. Pray for every member, every heart, as the word is preached, that it would penetrate. And that every person here will leave this church somehow changed or encouraged. Not for our glory, but for your glory. So that the world will come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. and our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and True Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.